At Church on the Word, we're building strong families on the Word of God. It's our desire to be a blessing to you. COTW messages are available to you at no cost. Feel free to listen and share with your friends. Now here's Pastor Rennie Ohl with this week's message.
Well, y'all may be seated. They've given me an hour today, and I'm going to take an hour and a half. So, gosh, that was good worship. That was really good. I want to ask you, how many in here are born again and know that when they take their last breath, they're going to be with Jesus? Now, I'm going to ask you another question, and I want you to think about it. There's no way you can answer it. But how many times since you got saved, since you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, how many times in your lifetime as a Christian has somebody asked you, are you born again? I don't know about you, but I've been asked hundreds of times from evangelists or pastors. And what do? You hold fast to your confession. You say, yes, I'm born again. I've asked Jesus into my heart. 6 months later, are you born again? Yes, I'm born again. I know where I'm going when I take my last breath. And I'm sure that every one of you have experienced that. I'm sure that there's been times when people have asked you, you hold fast your confession. You say, yes, 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 I am saved. I am born again. I've asked Jesus into my heart and he's still there. Hallelujah. So my message this morning is holding fast to your confession. We do it all the time, and we don't even realize it when people ask us if we're saved. We just say, yeah, I'm saved. You don't even think about it. But what you're doing, you're holding fast to what you know to be true in your heart. And so, consequently, it's a no-brainer. You don't even think about it. Well, let me see. I hope I am. Maybe I am. I don't think any of you answer that way. I never did. I remember the very first time I was asked that, I couldn't wait to tell them, yeah, I am born again. And I was so happy to answer that way. And I was a baby Christian. I didn't know anything about anything. I couldn't even find Genesis if I wanted to. But I knew that something happened on the inside of me, and I was saved. I want to take you through some scriptures this morning because it's important that not only do we know the Word of God, but it's important that we hold fast our confession. We can't waver at it. We can't be wishy-washy about it. James talks about, you know, being double-minded or being tossed to and fro like, you know, the sea tossing somebody around. You can't do that and live a successful life with God. You can't. Whether you believe it or not, Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you and I have to have faith. We have to say what is in our hearts. And a lot of times, I remember one time when Dad Hagen said this, and it just set me free. He said, you can doubt in your mind and still believe in your heart. And I thought, wait a minute. And then that dawned on me that he is right. You got it down on the inside. You know that you're saved. You know that you're healed. You know that you're blessed. You know that God is with you and would never leave you, never forsake you. But there's times up here you doubt it. There's times up here that you, okay, God, where are you? You know, here I am. Why is this happening to me? But you know in your heart. You know in your heart. Isaiah chapter 55, and I'm not going to go through all of it, but there's one verse I want to get to. But in verse 8, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways aren't your ways. As high as the heaven is above the earth, my thoughts are higher than yours, and my ways are higher than yours. We all know that. But in verse 11, he says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, the thing that he is sending it is you and me. Can I get an amen? I did it. I did it again. I'm not going to say that again. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. God and his word are one and the same. God's word is God's will. You know, it's so, all you have to do in your Bible is read the red letters. And you see what God's will is. You hear what God's word is. What Jesus did is what the will of the Father was. He says, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, if you know, the things that I do because the Father leads me to do them. I do what the Father says, and I say what the Father says. So if you're not sure what the will of God is, read the red letters in your Bible. Because that is the will of God. That is the Word of God. They're the same. It is vitally important that after you and I have prayed, that we never go back on our prayers. I don't know how many times as a young Christian, and still today I fight that once in a while, where I'll pray something and then I start doubting it. You can doubt, and that's really a problem, but what's disastrous is what comes out of your mouth. Your confession. What you say. In other words, don't ever go back on your word. Don't ever go back on your word. What he says has to be final with us. It has to be final. I know that this is sometimes a lot easier to say than it is to do, because of we are in our five senses. But I'm going to explain to you today how you can overcome those senses and stand on God's word. 1 John, let's go into the New Testament. 1 John, fifth chapter. It says in here from the Apostle John, it says, in verse 14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So I want to stop right there. Because where a lot of Christians get discouraged, or they miss it, or they think God's not with them, that God's not listening to them, when you pray according to his will, a lot of times, it ain't God's will. Let me give you a perfect example. And I can't talk about you, but I can talk about me and my wife. Me and my wife are living in the trailer just south of this building, not very far, about 10 inches. And we are getting very close to one another. Yes, she says, honey, I think you need to go to the office and study and, you know, get out of my face. But, you know, we the moment we got our place, a contract, full price contract, in 3 days, we didn't know, oh gosh, now what do we do? You know, we ain't got no place to live. Thank God for the mobile home. I mean, the travel trailer. But anyway, so we go looking for houses, right? And men, if you're wise, you will listen a lot to your wife. Yeah. I got one wise man in here. And I'll tell you, you know, we found a house and got, well, let me finish my story here. We found a house and Patty just loved it. And I loved it because there was a huge garage and a shop. And I mean, it was in heaven. You can have the house. I want the shop, you know. So we prayed about it and we made an offer on it. Well, we made a fairly low offer and they countered back and they didn't come down very far. And so we countered back and finally, this went on for what, 3 or 4 days, 5 days maybe. And I said to her, because I knew she wanted the house. It was in the area she wanted, and I knew she wanted it. So finally, I said, okay, honey, we're going to bump it up, and this is what we're going to offer them. And we were talking one night. This is what we're going to offer them. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to call the real estate agent, and we're going to offer this. So about 9, 10 o'clock that morning, I thought, okay, they're at the office, you know. And so I called and I said, hey, we want to make this offer. She said, okay. She presented the offer. The night before, 12 hours earlier, somebody made the offer the same price that we made that morning, and the buyer accepted it. The night before. So she was not happy, and when she's not happy, I'm not happy. Happy wife means happy life. So it turns out we found another house, and it was even better than the other house that she wanted. She loved it. She fell in love with it. She loved everything about it. It was in the same area, the same location area, and it was just, she was just excited about it. This house was a lot more up there, so I made an offer, and the guy wouldn't even counter it. He said, that's so low, I'm not even countering it. So we got to praying and thinking, and again, we came up quite a bit, and we made another offer. At least this time he made a counter offer. He came down $2,000, you know. So I thought, well, this ain't going to work. So we made another offer, and he came down $3,000. Anyway, I'm bringing this to a point. We decided that night that we were going to offer him his price. Next morning, I call the real estate agent. She says he got an accepted contract last night for the exact same price. My point to all this is that we were praying according to his will, but what we didn't realize is it wasn't his will. He had something better for us. So here we had two homes, and the exact same thing happened on both of them. The night before that we made the same offer that they accepted in both houses, they got sold right out from under us. So needless to say, she was, you know, not happy, and I wasn't happy, and we prayed about it, and I said, honey, God has got something better for us. And I want you all to understand something. A no from God is an answer. Can I get an amen? In other words, he knows more about what you're going through and what you're looking for and what you're striving for than you do. And he knows what's best for his kids. How many times have you told your kids no to something because you knew it wasn't good for them? Or you knew there was something better for them? Can I get an amen? I've done that 1,000 times with my sons, and I'm sure you all have too. You want the best for your children, but your children may not agree with what you and mom and dad are trying to get them to agree with. But mom and dad are looking out for your interests. They may not be their will, but they're not being ugly. They're just looking after you. Sometimes we don't pray. We think we are according to God's will, but yet God's saying, no, I got something better. I got something different. Hallelujah. And if we know that we hear, He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. Sometimes what we desire is not what's best for us. But we do know this, according to this scripture, if we're praying according to His will, we know that He hears us, and if He hears us, that's as good as an answer. So how do you know that He heard you? Because His will to hear you, and you are here to do His will. Think about it. Think about it. We need to pray according to the instructions given by Him in His name. You and I are, God wants you to know His will because He wants you to do His will. That is so powerful, church, because when you realize it, that when you, a lot of times you get a no and sometimes you get a yes, but the bottom line is you know that God is, you're doing His will because He wants you to know His will. He wants you to know what His desire is for you, where He wants you to go, who He wants you to talk to, what He wants you to do for somebody. He know he get it to you. He knows He can get it through you. Hallelujah. In the Gospel of John, and I was talking to you earlier about the red letters, but listen to what the Lord said in the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily. Now when He says verily, verily, that means you better really pay attention to what comes next. And He goes on, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hereforth have you asked nothing in my name, ask. And you shall receive that your joy may be full. Now, I want you to get a hold of something here. God is wanting you to have joy. You can't be joyful when you're broke, can't pay your bills, you're sick, you've got a fever. How can you be joyful during those conditions? God wants His children, just like you want your children, to be joyful. To be full of happiness and peace and joy. That's what God wants. His name is the same as Himself. In John 6:38 it says, For I have come down from heaven, this is Jesus speaking, to do the will of Him who sent me. Jesus said that. Now you and I are acting in Jesus' stead. Are you hearing me? Now you stand by that prayer and don't let the enemy steal it away from you. You stand in what God has called you to do and don't let the enemy steal it away from you. You got to hold fast your prayers. You got to hold fast your confession. In the Gospel of John, where we just read, He said, "My name," and He said, "My name, and you, and your joy, His name, your joy may be full." Hallelujah! You realize that the enemy is trying to steal away from you your joy, your happiness. How many of you know the story of the covenant with that God made with Abraham in the 15th chapter of Genesis? God made a covenant. God told Abraham to take a calf and cut it in half, take a goat and cut it in half, and take a sheep and cut it in half, and then He took these birds. And you know what? I don't know that Abraham saw God, but I truly believe he saw God's footprints going through that blood, walking through there as he was cutting that covenant with God. But you know what Adam did? I mean, Abraham did? He chased away the fowls, the birds of prey that were trying to eat that meat. He kept chasing them away. He kept chasing them away. Abraham watched over it. And when the birds of prey came, Abe drove them away. He kept driving them away. When you pray in Jesus' name and the answer has not yet come, now the birds of prey or demons will steal from your heart, but you have got to watch over it. You've got to watch over it. Ha! When you do that, when you don't allow the enemy to come into your mind and steal out of your heart what God has put there, now you, according to Philippians 4:6, now you don't have to be anxious for anything. Now you don't have to be anxious for anything. And then with prayer and thanksgiving, hello, what do you do now? You praise Him. You praise Him. And you thank Him. He is such a good God. Now with thanksgiving, quietness, you wait. Your prayer hasn't been answered, but you know it is going to be answered. So you have patience and you wait. The fever is still there. The pain in your head still there. Maybe you're sick to your stomach still and you're still vomiting. Maybe the bills aren't being paid. You've prayed. You wait quietly, thanksgiving, praising Him. And the bills still ain't being paid. There's still lack in your life. What do you do? You've got to keep shooing away those demons that bring in the thoughts that are going to rob you. And what happens is then you start speaking those thoughts and you just have destroyed your prayer. Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God without faith. So we got to hold fast our confession. So when you pray, you're standing, you're waiting, fever's still there, bills still aren't being paid. So what do I do? Don't let the word be stolen from your heart. Don't let it be stolen from your heart. He said, if you ask anything according to His will, He hears you. And then you have His attention and you have your petition. You got His attention and you got your possession. And now you start praising Him. You praise Him even before you get it. Because you know in your heart that God cannot lie, that God heard my prayer. My prayer is according to His will. And if it doesn't come to pass and you don't get the house, praise God, that was His will. Amen. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Why? Because He loves you. He gave you His Word. And you're resting on that. You know, I remember one time when I was a kid, we had this big walnut tree in our front yard. And my dad, we had picked all the walnuts you can pick from the ground. And so my dad sent me up the tree. And I'm picking and throwing down walnuts and getting all I could reach. Then he says, go up higher. And I went up higher, started picking some more walnuts. And by the time, I don't know how many hours have gone by, but by the time I was clear at the top of this monster walnut tree. And I was fine picking walnuts, but all of a sudden when I couldn't pick any more walnuts, I looked down, and I mean, I hugged that tree. I was a tree hugger, I'll tell you. I don't think much of tree huggers, but I was a tree hugger back then. And Dad kept yelling at me, come down. And I couldn't move. I mean, I had a hold of that tree. I could not move. He said, son, come down. He said, start climbing down. He said, I'm down here. I'm not going to let anything happen to you. But I could not let go of that. I mean, I wanted to. I wanted to do what my dad said. I didn't want to be disobedient. I didn't want to get him mad at me. But I couldn't let go. I mean, I couldn't. So guess what happened? My dad climbed the tree. What did you say, Linda? Fire truck. If the fire truck come, my dad would have been mad. I guarantee you that. But he climbed that tree, and he got to right where he could touch me. And the minute he touched me, I started going down with him because he was touching me. I felt safe. My dad was right here with me, and he's going to get me to the ground. I'm not going to get hurt. Oh, church, that's how your Heavenly Father feels about you and me. He's just saying, I'm right here with you. But until my dad climbed that tree, I was not going to move. I mean, I couldn't move. I couldn't move my baby finger. That's how tense I was around that tree. But it was fine until I looked down. God loves us. And we need to realize that He gave us His Word, and that He also... His word is a guarantee. He can't lie. Can I get an amen? Amen? Forgive me for saying that. Mark 11:24, it says this, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive the thing. So, believing is possessing. When you believe His Word, you possess the thing that His Word has guaranteed. You may not have it in your hand. You may not have it in your checking account. You may not have it in your body, but you've got His Word, and God is going to honor His Word. He said, I send forth my Word, and it's going to bless and accomplish that which I sent it to do. Amen. Jesus said, I will do that. He said, whatever you ask. In John 14:13, He says, whatever you ask in my name, Jesus said, I will do that my Father be glorified. When you pray in His name, Jesus takes over. As long as you hold fast your confession, what comes out of your mouth, well, you all know the scripture, there is life and death that proceeds out of the mouth. You can either speak life over something or you speak death over it. That's how much power there is in your word. Why is that so? Because we are made in the image of God. Are you listening to me? And we are now His children. And what God says, we say. And what if we don't say what God says, we are going to be in trouble because what we're going to get is what we say. People need to understand that the more your confession and you're holding fast to it, lining up with the Word of God, the more it's going to change your life. The more it's going to affect your life. When we pray in His name, Jesus takes over. as long as we hold fast our confession. Amen. Your prayer is based upon His Word. And it's His business to make it good. It's His business to make it good. And you know what? I know my Bible tells me God can't lie. And okay, so God can't lie. He told me that He wants me to be, that He sent His Word and healed me. He, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. He said in His Word in Proverbs 10:22 that He adds richness to us, prosperity to us, and He adds no sorrow with it. Okay, that's His Word. I believe His Word, and I'm going to receive that Word, and I'm going to confess that Word. Because until you confess it, you're not going to possess it. Can I get an amen? I did it again. Go with me to Romans, the 4th chapter. Now, there's a lot of scriptures here, and I think I'm going to start in verse 16. I was going to start in verse 19, but I don't want to take this out of context. This is all about Abraham. And Paul is telling us here, he said, therefore it is of faith, this is verse 16, that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure. The end the promise might be sure. To all the seed, not to that only that which is of the law, which was the Jewish nation or the Israelites, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is father of us all. Verse 17, it is written, let it be written, let it be done. I have made thee father of many nations before him who he believed, even God who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, who was 90 years old. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith and giving glory to God. Verse 21, this is what I'm wanting to get to. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Glory to God. Well, I'll tell you, that's a good part. That scripture, you need to take that verse right there, verse 21, and you need to underline it, highlight it, because you need to always remember that what he has promised, he is more than able to perform. Hallelujah. Hope is always the future. Faith is always now. He remembered that God had called the things that are not as though they were, and they became. He became. Abraham is the father of many nations now through faith. Through faith. Matthew chapter 18. And I want to read 3-4 verses here. This is again Jesus speaking. He said, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, church, listen to me. Our words, our confession. You'd never, if somebody, you could, if you've been saved for a month and somebody comes to you and asks you if you were saved, you're not going to say, well, I hope so. I think so. Maybe so. No. You're going to say, I am saved. I am born again. Your confession is solid as steel. And all the rest of your Christian life, people will ask you, are you saved? Are you born again? Have you asked Jesus into your heart? And you're going to say the same thing over and over. I am saved. I know where I'm going. I know what's going to happen to me when I take my last breath, and I'm going to be with Jesus forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, according to this scripture, your word in Jesus' name makes things come into being or come to pass. Can I get an amen? Amen. How many of you know God's phone number? Do you know what it is, Linda? 911. It's actually 333. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you. You take him at his word, and your heart is full of joy that he has given you his word. He said, call on me and I will answer you. In Jeremiah 1:12 it says, For I will hasten my word to perform it. You hold up his word to him. Listen to me. You hold up his word to him and hold fast your confession. But you got to confess. I remember when I was going to Rhema and Patty and I were in school there, I remember when people would come up during a service to get healed, Dad Hagin would say, what scripture are you standing on? What promise from God are you taking a hold of? And a lot of times people had a scripture, but a lot of times they didn't. They just knew God wanted to heal them, but they didn't have anything to base their faith on. And bless Dad Hagin, he would just rattle off scripture after scripture, healing scriptures, and they'd go, yeah, that one. I'm going to stand on, oh, I'll stand on that one too. Oh, yeah, I'll take that one too. And so they were finally standing on, their faith was on something. It wasn't crazy, bizarre, weird faith. It was faith in the Word of God. And they could stand on it. Hallelujah. That's how you and I need to be. So you see, the secret of living is living in His Word. The secret of living is living in His Word, because this is His will. This is His will. But if you don't know the Word, then guess what? You don't know His will. And or if you don't believe His Word, then you're not going to believe His will for you. You got to, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. Why? Because you got to get it from here and you got to get it in here. It'll finally get settled in here, and then as long as your confession is lining up with what's already in here, you're going to have what you say. I was reading a story the other day. I got some time. I was reading this little pamphlet. It was written by Dodie Osteen. And some of you may know who John and Dodie Osteen is. They're the parents of John Osteen, who has that big church down, I mean Joe Osteen down in Texas. And she wrote this book, and it was called Healed of Cancer. That was the title on the front page, Healed of Cancer. And I remember she started sharing in there when she was diagnosed with it, how she was so weak and how she was hurting so much. And some days she couldn't even get out of bed. And then this went on for weeks and months, and, you know, she was quoting the Word of God. Her husband was a pastor. He was quoting the Word over her. And then one night, Dodie said to John, she said, "I'm feeling guilty. I feel guilty." And John said to her, he said, what are you talking about? What are you guilty of? She said, I'm doubting the Word of God. And it's causing me to have condemnation. Well, you can imagine the pain she was going through and having cancer, knowing that the doctors gave her, like, I think it was, 60 days, something like that, to live. And here she's been going a month through this, and she was having all these symptoms in her body, and she could hardly even get out of bed. And so she was feeling condemnation because she was doubting the Word of God. And her husband said something to her that set her free. He said, "Dodie, where are you feeling this condemnation from?" And she thought about it for a minute, and she said, "Well, it's all I think about." He said, "That's the problem." He said, you know that it's in your heart, the healing scriptures of God, and you're doubting it and having condemnation in your head because of your symptoms." And it set her free. She said, "John, you're right. You're right. I know God's Word. I know He heals me." And get this. That day to this day, I don't know. I assume she's still with us. She's in her late 80s. But to this day, she confesses her healing scriptures every morning before she leaves the house. In fact, she tells a story in the book how she had she was really running late, woke up late, and she had an appointment, and she left the house, and she says, "Oh my gosh, I forgot to read my healing scriptures." You know what she did? She goes back to the house, reads her scriptures, and goes to her appointment, and she was late. That's how powerful and how important it was to her. They had, I can't remember the name of the cancer, or I just know that it was in her head, and it was spreading throughout her body. And it was roughly six months, was it, honey, that she had gone through all this? Something like that. And she went back to the doctor. She wasn't going to go to the doctor because she started feeling great. She felt like going to the doctors would be a negative thing. But her husband, John, talked her into it. He said, "I want you to go to the doctor. I want them to see what God has done for you." And that's exactly what happened. They couldn't find, it hadn't gone in remission. They couldn't find a cancer tumor or cell in her whole body. In her whole body. Her confession. And yet, even when she's going through all that pain and all that terrible, you know, whatever happens when you got cancer, and she started doubting in her head. You know, she was starting to succumb to her sense of feeling. You know what I'm saying? You stub your toe, that feeling, it hurts, and whatever she was going through for that length of time, her mind, you know, the enemy was just playing games with her head, and she was wrestling with the Word of God. But in her heart, she knew that God healed her. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:19 says this, "My God," everybody say this with me, "My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus." What a powerful confession that is. God is our supply. Hold fast to your confession. What you say is either life or it's death. You can think all the terrible things you want to. You know, the enemy is going to make the battles in your mind. He's going to bring in these negative thoughts. He's going to bring in these negative feelings. He's going to do all that nasty stuff. But you hold fast what comes out of your mouth. You hold fast your confession. Because God is, He said, I promise my word is going to go forth and it's going to bless and profit what it set for. Hallelujah. Hold fast to your confession. You can pray and believe and pray and believe and pray and believe, but your words can undo it. Your negative confession can undo it. We are to act by faith. We are to live by faith. And we are to walk by faith. Amen. Why? Because it glorifies Him. It glorifies Him. And there was that time in that oak tree when I was, that walnut tree when I was scared to death. When my dad touched me, all of a sudden that fear was all gone. Because I knew He was with me. I got a tongue lashing when I got down because He had to climb the tree, but it didn't matter. Because I guess what He was saying to me now, and when I think about it, He was saying and telling me what to do and how to do it, but I didn't trust His word. It was not until He touched me and was with me, I wasn't about to relax and let go of that trunk. But once I knew He was with me, but if I had just listened to His words, if I had just done what He said, I could have caught down that tree without Him climbing. Can I get an amen? So it's important that we watch our words, and we got to realize the enemy's going to try to steal those words from our heart, and we can please God just by walking by faith. Because you know what you're saying when you're pleasing God and when you're walking by faith? You're saying, I believe You, and you're saying, I trust You. You see, when I was up in that tree, I didn't believe my dad. I didn't trust him, I guess. And, you know, and until he got with me, then I can trust him because he's here with me. If he falls, if he don't fall, I'm not going to fall. But you hear what I'm saying? We have to realize that when we don't act in faith, then we're basically saying, God, I don't trust You. I don't trust You. Hold fast our confession. Say what the Word says, even when you don't see it, especially when you don't see it. When it's not in the checking account, when it's not in the savings account, when it's not in your wallet or purse, when you got a fever and a headache and you're throwing up, speak the Word. Speak the Word. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up together.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's message. If you were encouraged by these audio clips, please let us know. Our email address is cotw@crosstail.net. If you're looking for a home church, we'd love to have you. Our address is 1511 North Highway 64, Warner, Oklahoma. For more information on our ministry, including service times, go to churchontheword.net. Amen.